You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
A new study has recently been released that intimate partner violence increases the risk of both chronic illness and mental illness. With 1 in 3 women experiencing violence, this highlights a pressing health issue. I spoke with Professor Tracy McIntosh from the University of Auckland, and I started by asking her to tell our listeners about her research that has been conducted and the paper that has just been published.
Yes, look, I'm really happy to. So I'm a part of a broader study called the New Zealand Family Violence Study, led by Associate Professor Janet Farnslow over in Population Health. So this was a very large study. We interviewed 1,464 women and 1,355 men. So sort of a very large qualitative piece of work with a really strong series of analytical data.
It has found a link between family violence and chronic illness as well as mental illness. What are we seeing here? What are the trends?
Well, this is particularly in relation to intimate partner violence. And so whilst the actual prevalence, so, you know, this study is looking at across a lifetime, so lifetime prevalence. So the youngest person who was a part of this work, 16, I think the oldest was in their 90s, well in the 90s. So you're actually looking right across. So, you know, some people, you're looking across decades in regards to the prevalence of intimate partner violence in their lifetimes, and some, you know, it's a much shorter period. So if we're looking at sort of the baseline rate from earlier studies, we'll see that it's relatively static. But if you start looking, down and particularly looking at things like, I mean, we're looking at physical violence, psychological violence, economic violence, controlling behaviours and those sorts of elements. When we look at that and start disaggregating the data, then we're starting to see a range of different trends. But, you know, it's a very important study in the fact that it looks not only at women, but also looks at men.
We're seeing a trend in increased illnesses as a link to intimate partner violence. What impact is this having on our health systems and our...
Well, I think really what we're able to do, we're actually able to demonstrate that intimate partner violence has a real health impact. And I think that's sort of the first time we're able to demonstrate that link. So particularly with severe and persistent forms of intimate personal violence across the different categories, as already outlined, you know, the more that you have, the more likely you are to have a health impact. And some of those health impacts can be very serious and ongoing. So I think what it really shows is that in the way that we might, for example, take as a given that smoking and alcohol use or misuse is something that will be picked up in by healthcare professionals. Really, the need for healthcare professionals to have the capacity and the capability to be recognising that intimate partner violence is a social determinant of health.
Do you think this research will make systems in New Zealand able to better help the victims of intimate partner violence by helping them to identify underlying issues?
Well, I think we know that we need to embed, you know, this space within our healthcare system, but actually much more broadly within our social system, you know, as well, in terms of, you know, there is much more discussion, for example, around family violence, around whānau violence. You know, there's been a whole lot of campaigns in that area. But we need to sort of embed that much more broadly rather than having it only campaign specific. We need to really recognise that the link between these forms of violence and in terms of health outcomes. So, look, it has the ability to, you know, to be very significant within the health system. We also know that we need to build up not just individuals, but families, whānau, collectives. We need to be working in a really relational way and improving the ability of people to have strong relationships. We need to be thinking about power relationships between people. You know, so there's one of these real opportunities to have a global transformation in a space where at the moment our indicators in terms of intimate partner violence and in terms of family and whānau violence are so poor.
I read somewhere that you were using it to inform policy, this study.
Yeah, so this right from the very beginning of the study, we recognised, you know, the really need to make ensure that the from research to action was really significant. So from the beginning, we engaged with across a sort of a multi ministerial eight groups, and are really trying to inform and inflect policy in a way that they've got a strong evidence base that the sorts of research insights that come from this work can really shape and inform our current policy, and so that you get the type of, you know, if we're going to be using the language of investment, so that the investment is in the right place, that there's a really strong community-centred one, particularly for Māori responses. We need to ensure that those responses are by Māori for Māori, that they're culturally informed, and that they seek to improve the outcomes of wahine Māori, of tāne Māori, and of tamariki Māori.
Would you say that this study has helped to inform us better on the state of intimate partner violence in New Zealand?
Oh, I think it's an incredible study in that, and you know, and this really sort of extends the work that Janet had already done in earlier board survey, particularly in including men. You know, this gives us a really, you know, there's a huge amount of papers from this study that have already come out. There'll be many more in the future. And it really allows us to see a whole range of issues. You know, we're able to look at intimate partner violence and disability, for example, in ways that haven't been looked at before. We're able to look at connections between, as in this study, things around food insecurity, intimate partner violence and health outcomes. So there's some very important connections that have been made here, and there'll be much more work coming, you know, in the years to come.
The statistics, quite frankly, are shocking. It's 1 in 3 women have experienced violence from an intimate partner. So what advice do you have for women who are affected?
You know, I mean, I think that one of the elements we know is that the ability to have a broad support, and those support might be in terms of professional support. Often they're in the terms of community support, friends, in some cases family, but often it's easier to go to friends. You know, I think that one of the things we have seen in the change is the ability, and it's still very difficult for many people, but the ability to talk about violence, to address it. We're certainly seeing that within institutional places, employer responsibility in this area. So for someone who's in this position, looking at ways that they can get support that is safe for them. I mean, one of the big issues, particularly for those that are often facing really severe and persistent forms of intimate partner violence, often they feel that even seeking help puts them in danger. So I think that the need, you know, at a broader, you know, here as a Māori academic, you know, I was saying about the need for us to be connected with others, to be mindful of others, to be watching of others, and recognising that all of us have a duty to care about others, so that it's not just placed on the individual who may be experiencing violence, but that we recognise for us to have really healthy relationships and for us to have healthy communities, that we're all going to have to be involved.
Would you say it's almost a preventative measure against illness to have these safe spaces?
We said right from the beginning, particularly around this research, that, you know, the thing that we were most interested in was not just identifying and categorising violence, but actually doing all of this as a preventive measure. So it's that place of prevention that is the most significant. You know, what that means in the educational curriculum in regards to, you know, some of the work around healthy relationships, perhaps coercive control. I mean, one of the issues around coercive control is that we see that absolutely as a thread that goes through so many different forms of violence, whether it be physical, psychological, indeed, or, you know, or economic. So, you know, you do have to have a whole of community response. Here we're looking very much at the need to have a cohesive and coherent healthcare response, which will also include, you know, capacity and capability building and all of those elements. But if we're really going to deal with intimate partner violence on the broader scene, it does demand a response of all of us.
That was Tracy McIntosh from the University of Auckland speaking to me about intimate partner violence having a link to chronic and mental illnesses.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.